the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudet. This is Idaho Matters. When you think of Idaho rivers, you think of water and fish and the beauty of the landscape, but down in the nooks and crannies of the waterbed are two small slimy creatures that act as sort of a canary in the coal mine for Northwest waterways. They are the ashy pebble snail and short-faced lynx, and they're disappearing from rivers around the West thanks to warmer water and threats from dams, agriculture, and people. The Center for Biological Diversity wants to protect these snails and the rivers they live in under the Endangered Species Act. Here to tell us more is Noah Greenwald, the Endangered Species Director for the Center. Hi, Noah.
Hi, Samantha.
Okay, let's start with the ashy pebble snail. These are pretty tiny, I read. How big are they?
They are just a couple millimeters in size. They would be easy to miss if you didn't know that they were there. But if you take a close look, they're quite attractive little snails with a whorled shell and little tentacles with light circles around them.
Well, and that shell looks like what we think of, I think, the classical definition of a snail, because it's got that, you know, it kind of goes down in a spiral and it looks like a snail.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about the short face lynx? What is that? What does it look like?
Well, it has a volcano-shaped shell. And for those who are familiar with limpets, which you would normally see on the coast or in marine waters, where I'm familiar with them from is Hawaii. There's a species there called Opihi that have these sort of classic volcano-shaped shells. The lynx actually isn't technically a limpet, but looks like one. And it attaches itself to rocks.
And they're freshwater creatures, right?
Yep, exactly. They're both freshwater creatures that were once quite widespread in the Columbia Basin, you know, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, even into Montana, but are much reduced following construction of dams and pollution of so many waterways in the Columbia Basin.
Now, I heard they've disappeared altogether from Montana. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the Clark Fork is the one part of Montana that flows into the Columbia. And, you know, after dam construction on the Columbia, on the Clark Fork, they disappeared. They've also disappeared from, you know, the Spokane River, the Coeur d'Alene River, and many others.
So where can I find them if I go digging in the mud?
Well, so in Idaho, you can still find them in the Snake River. You can still find them in the Bruno River, the Boise River, and the Owyhee River.
Gotcha. You mentioned dams. Obviously, you know, all kinds of dams on the Snake and the Columbia and other places. What other dangers do they face? Isn't water temperature a big deal for these guys?
It is. So these are both cold water dependent species. They also like flowing water. And they like a stream bed free of sediments. So, you know, anything that raises the temperature of the stream, you know, something like clearing streamside vegetation for by livestock grazing or agriculture or urbanization that allows, you know, streams to become warmer or actually even one effect of dams, right, is that you create these large pools that absorb a lot of sunlight and have, you know, really warm up the temperature of the water. And if you look at Idaho, Oregon, Washington, many, many hundreds of miles of stream are what they call 303D impaired. It's a classification under the Clean Water Act that looks at the health of rivers. And in many cases, rivers are just already too warm for cold water creatures like these snails or salmon and steelhead as well.
We had it was a few years ago, we had a bunch of fish die off because of that, the warm water. And it, you know, it doesn't have to be too many degrees up. It just has to be enough. And then the creatures just, they can't survive.
That's absolutely right. And one of the places that the short-faced lynx was found commonly in the early 90s was the Hanford Reach of the Columbia. And surveys in 2007 failed to find them, instead found warm water snails. So even an area, that's not affected by dams, it's the one main last free-flowing reach of the Columbia, has seen warmer waters. And that reflects that our world is warming.
And these little guys, they actually help protect water quality, right? They're pretty good at
That's
that.
right. They're just an indicator of good water quality. Where you still have these guys is it's going to indicate that the water quality is good. But they also, they scrape rocks for algae and detritus, which helps keep the streams clean. And then they also, by doing so, they provide a food source for fish and other animals higher up the food chain. So they really are an important part. They may be small, but they're an important part of the web of life and in Columbia Basin rivers.
So you're hoping to protect them under the Endangered Species Act, and you've asked the Fish and Wildlife Service for protection. What would protection mean if you got it?
Well, Endangered Species Act protection does a lot. I mean, we've seen that with the salmon and steelhead, that it forces federal agencies like the Army Corps of Engineers and Bureau of Reclamation and BPA to consult with Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service to ensure that they're not jeopardizing listed species. So that would apply to the snails too. It would provide that extra layer of protection. They would now have to consider them in their management of the dams. Likewise, the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management would need to consider the snails in things that they authorize, like livestock grazing. So it provides that important protection. It also requires development of a recovery plan. So get scientists to put their heads together and figure out what these snails need to survive. And I would note that one thing that's different about the snails is that they're in the rivers all year round, as compared to the salmon that just migrate through during parts of the year in many of these rivers. And so they need the cold water year round, and so they really provide that important indication of how we're treating our rivers and streams. As the world gets warmer, if we want our rivers to be climate resilient, we have to start changing how we treat them. If we want salmon to survive into the future, we have to change how we treat our rivers. And right now, but the fact that they are already too warm should really raise alarm bells.
Okay, we're going to put more info on our website. We've been speaking with Noah Greenwald, the Endangered Species Director at the Center for Biological Diversity. The center wants to protect the ashy pebble snail and short-faced lynx from extinction. Noah, thanks for the update.
Oh, thank you very much, Samantha.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.